First, again, I want to say happy Easter. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Do we all remember that we are in the midst of Easter? We all had a wonderful celebration of Easter last week, and we were able to gather at Torpy Park, many of us, in the morning. We gathered for a beautiful service of music and praise and word as well here on Facebook Live, and celebrating the joy and the power and the mystery of Easter, of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. But I know many of us, life has continued, right? We moved on. And are we still in the midst of Easter? I think in many churches, this particular Sunday is considered a low Sunday, is what they call it. I remember hearing about it in seminary, and even still, you hear and see it in conversations about church and worship, that for most of the church, pastors included, this is a day of kind of like, we are so much energy is put into our Easter, our Lent, and our Easter celebrations that we all just kind of want to take a rest. It's the most common day that clergy take vacation is the Sunday after Easter. Now, I don't say that because I'm here. I say that because that's just kind of how it's been. And this week I was wondering, why? Why is this Sunday, is this period of time right after Easter, a low time, a time that we are without energy and excitement, that we would rather take time off and away? We've just experienced the most amazing thing that has ever happened. Well, the second most amazing thing that has ever happened, and right on par with the first, which is the incarnation, Jesus becoming, God becoming one of us, Jesus being born as a human being. We've just also now experienced something that has changed all the rules for the rest of eternity. Jesus died and then rose again, walked out of the tomb, changed and alive. Wow, that's incredible. We should be over the moon excited and running and trying to celebrate and share this with the whole world. This is good news. Because of Easter, we have been made right with God. Everything has been changed. So why is it that we're so low so often this time? I think it has to do with the scripture that we heard today. I think it's because we are just like Thomas. We've heard that Jesus is alive. We've heard that Christ is risen. There are others around us that have told us that it's true. They've experienced Jesus. Mary Magdalene met him in the garden, didn't know it was him until he said her name, and she told the others, and they didn't believe her, and they ran and saw, and it wasn't until Jesus appeared, walked into the room that they were gathered with and ate with them, and they saw him and touched him. No, we saw how, you know, how our senses can be fooled. So maybe even still, though those other disciples told Thomas that they saw him and touched him, maybe it was something else. I think the doubts and the desires that Thomas had are our doubts and desire that we wrestle with and struggle with, that kind of bring us down, that temper our excitement, and keep us from claiming the power of the resurrection every day of our lives. Because that's, now I want you to remember, last week we talked about that every single day of our lives can be Easter. Every single day of our lives is an opportunity for us to claim and experience the power and the hope of the resurrection, for us to proclaim in word and deed that Christ is risen indeed. And how can we do that when we are wrestling with doubts? How can we do that when we're not quite sure if we can believe it? Because we haven't seen it. We haven't touched. Quite often we talk about Thomas, and he gets belittled because of this. But Thomas really, I think, his story gets told because he is us. We've been removed from the story of the resurrection by thousands of years. And so our questions are valid. So I want us to address those questions and those doubts and wrestle with a little bit of what we need to do to overcome them. And so this Easter season, this time between now and the day of Pentecost, which is May 23rd this year, we're going to look at, in worship, encounters of the disciples who encounter Jesus and how they are able to live the resurrection and how their lives are changed and the world is changed because of the resurrection. And how they go forward in doing that. And we're gonna take a look at that and experience that power that's going to help us, one, overcome some of our doubts and questions about the resurrection, and two, help us to truly live the resurrection and live that every day is a little Easter, is an opportunity for us to experience the resurrection. So I want to ask you right now, how have you experienced the presence of our living Lord Jesus in your life? When, like Thomas, until that moment that Jesus appeared before him, how have you believed and experienced Jesus without being able to see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands, hear him with your ears like we hear one another? I know for me, that was something that as I was growing up as a young man, as an adolescent, and wrestling with my faith, trying to make sense of it, that was something that I really struggled with. And I had a lot of doubt. I remember times praying to God and coming up with silly little tests. Like, okay, God, if you're real, if Jesus really walked out of the tomb, make the... You know, I had two beds in my room. I used to have to share it with a brother, and then one sister moved off to college, but that's more information. So I had two beds in my room, and I remember one night, this is silly, wanting proof that all of this was real. And God, if this is real and Jesus has really walked out of the tomb and is alive today, pick up the bed or sit down on the bed across from me. Well, of course, God didn't lift up the bed or didn't sit down on it, and I just struggled. Okay, you're not real. But then kept wrestling with it. I wanted to believe, and I believed and wanted to see and feel. But you know, there's been times throughout my life that I might not have seen it in the moment, and sometimes I did. I truly felt, truly saw and experienced the presence of our living Lord. Now, one time I think of was when I first began working at, after high school, graduated from high school, and I started working at the Whispering Pines United Methodist Church Camp over in Frederick, Wisconsin. And I was a counselor there on staff for the first year, and it was in one of the directors, Linda Feuda, her husband and her were the directors and ran the camp, and remember that she wrote for each one of us a devotion and a letter of encouragement and a prayer for us every single week. And one week that I was really having a hard time and thought I was hiding it well, when we gathered for our staff devotions, Linda put my little devotion and prayer and encouragement letter in my hand personally, with her other hand on my back. And I hadn't even read it yet, but it just felt different. It gave me goosebumps. And I felt like in that moment that I was in the presence of Jesus, that it was Jesus touching me. And later, when I read the words that she had written and the thoughts that she had shared for me, they were exactly what I needed to hear. They spoke to the hurt and the questions that I had in that moment so beautifully and so perfectly that it's one of those moments that reminds me that whenever I'm like Thomas and not quite sure, like, yeah, that's a moment that I experienced the presence of our living Lord. That's a moment that I felt him, that I saw in Linda the presence of Christ. Now, I'm willing to bet that all of you joining, that if you thought about it, a time that you felt the presence of God, the living presence of Christ with you and touching you, it came from some kind of interaction with someone. Maybe a stranger. Someone touched you. Someone healed you. Someone spoke to you. Someone did something in your life for you that you just felt overwhelmingly that this was an act and a hand of God. You know, we see now, 2,000 plus years removed from the resurrection, 2,000 plus years from when Jesus ascended into heaven and promised that he would return, we see and feel and experience the presence of the living Lord when others live the resurrection, when someone else in our world and our lives touch us, do something, some kind of practical action that reveals to us the presence of our living Lord. I've heard too many of those stories to know this is not true. So today, I want you to think about those moments in your own life. Think about them. See if you could articulate one to yourself, of a moment that you know that you experienced the living presence of Christ. And how was it revealed to you? But I also want to leave us with another question, another thing for us to think of, is how will others experience? How will others see and believe that Jesus is alive? How will others know that they can live the power of Easter every single day of their lives unless we show them? Unless we are willing to partner with God to be that person, to be that community of faith that lives out the resurrection, that is willing to touch and show the world, our community, one another, the living presence of God. We can't just say the words. We can't just expect people to believe when we say Christ is risen. Indeed, we have to be willing to show them. And this is what Jesus was telling the disciples. This is what he was doing when he appeared to them. He was preparing them to go out and live the resurrection. That's what I'm going to challenge us to do as a community of faith. throughout this new year, I've mentioned a few times that I think we can be doing something that makes a real difference in the life of our community, that is a practical way for us to touch and reveal the resurrection. I've named those in the past as being dealing with medical debt that is crippling, that people are beginning to stop going and getting medical care that they need, that is hurting their health because they're not sure how they can pay for it. Or they're overwhelmed by their medical bills that have gone into collection. Churches have found a way that we can eliminate that. And we could be a part of that. A miracle and bringing health into a person's life when they thought that there was no hope. That could be how we show the presence of the living Lord. I've also mentioned that poverty is a real issue in our community. Too often it gets swept under the rug and we don't really examine the food insecurity and the housing insecurity in this area. What can we be doing? What more can we do in a real way that makes a difference in bringing people the essential things that they need in their life? Food and shelter and so much more. Can we do something about the issues of poverty right here in our local community? And like all communities, we deal with the issues of racism and racial inequality and injustice. We've been reminded of just how deep that inequality and injustice runs in our society this past year, and most recently now as the murder trial is going on in Minneapolis of Officer Chauvin, as he was involved in the death and the murder of George Floyd. We have things that we can deal that are going on right here in our own community that remind us that not everyone experiences the same sense of life and equality. There are issues of injustice and inequality right here. Do we need to begin those conversations and relationships to bring justice and peace and reconciliation? I don't know. But those are just three things that we could do something to reveal the presence of Christ in. That we could show others, that others could see that Christ is alive. So I want you to join me on Sunday, April 25th at 3:00 in the afternoon. I'm going to host a Zoom meeting that we're going to explore those three issues. Give us more information about those issues in our community and some ideas of how we could do something together about them so that we as a faith community can decide how we are going to live out the resurrection as a family of faith, and going forward to make a real difference, revealing the presence of our living Lord to those who are seeking, to those who want to see and feel him, to believe. It is a great honor to get to show Christ to the world. So I hope you will join me on the 25th, and I hope you will join me and all who have gone before in living the power of the resurrection today and every day. Amen.